It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielso Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for. The sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keurig, presented by G2G Bars on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Okay, everybody, welcome back. It's Unrivaled 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. Alex Keurig, Scott Mitchell. We're here for you, man. Thanks for listening to the program. You can download the podcast wherever podcasts are found. And also, KSL Sports, the app, you download it and you can get yourself streaming the station all day long. That's what I do. I don't even mess with the radio anymore. I just, my phone connects right up and it streams the KSL Sports Zone. So there you go. KSL Sports app, get it going. And you can hear us all day long. And if you missed anything, you can go back and listen to some of the segments as well all across the station. Scott, you're familiar with who Dennis Dodd is.
Yes.
And before I get into this NIL regulatory committee that they're trying to figure out at the federal level, and I just roll my eyes at it, but I do want to emphasize something here. Hey, by the way, I did. I told you that story of Billy Napier saying, hey, maybe we should back off the expectations of Florida football this year. Maybe it should take some time.
Ooh.
Now, is that something you say and it buys you extra time, or that's something you say and your fan base goes, I hate you, Billy Napier?
I think it's something you have to say at the right time.
Maybe at the time that it's actually correct, which is probably right now.
Well, yeah, you don't want to start building in excuses and things, you know, after – you know, I think you say it right off the bat. Look, there's a, it's a challenging landscape in college football. It is not easy. And there are some new curveballs that we're still trying to wrap – our arms around it, understand how to navigate through NIL, how to navigate through the transfer portal, and those are big steps. I mean, they're huge, huge, huge changes in college football. How you recruit, how you manage money, how you raise money, how, you know, the whole process is just massively changed. And when you're a program like Florida that's trying to get back to some relevance nationally, because you're kind of, you've fallen off the radar here in the last few years, and you're a team that can get there. You certainly have the ability. Yeah, that's what I would say in the beginning.
Right.
And then what you have is people, you know, you set the expectation and people all of a sudden go, okay, all right, you actually did better than we thought. The Utah Jazz this year. I think everybody went into the season going, we expect this team to tank. And anything better than that for us actually is – it was very watchable. It was very encouraging. It was actually, you know, hopeful. But when you come in and go, you know, we've got this quarterback, we've got all these things, we look like we're going to compete off the bat. And they've had some massive, like, mistakes. With NIL situations, and it's been ugly. So I think it's a little dangerous to come out at this point and say, yeah, give us some more time.
It's crazy that there isn't an allotted – like, I think that what's happening in the NBA is really bad for sports overall, where they go, yeah, we used to give you extra time. We're not there. We're not doing that anymore, because it'll be like that in the NBA. It'll start being like that across a lot of other sports. And typically college ends up – running along the same lines as
it's because of money.
I know these pro sports are. Yes. Yeah. And it's because of the people who can influence you who have the money. It's because of the demands of what you're making at your school and whether or not it's up to par or not.
And it's also you're on a budget. There's a cap. There's a budget. Now college is a little bit different, but you know, you have to figure out how you're going to navigate through your budget. And do you have enough money to pay enough players that are good enough to win a championship? And that's tricky. And so, like, the Jazz are on the good side of this right now, right?
Because
They've got good players at bargain prices.
I like when we say that about, hey, you want to come down to the Utah Jazz, get yourself some basement bargain prices, I'll hook you up.
That's kind of what it is.
Let me throw out some numbers for you. In case you were wondering if college football has any part of, quote-unquote, amateurism left, which left the building decades ago.
Yeah.
But it's now officially gone. Let me roll out for you an example that we found of just it makes the point very, very well about how this is a business. Ticket prices for Colorado versus Nebraska. Now, I'm not sure history-wise in recent history if they've played each other much. Now, of course, this is an old Big 8 matchup. This was a big deal. My neighbor played linebacker at Colorado growing up.
It's unfortunate that this rivalry.
This is a huge one.
I know. It's a great one.
And he was like, it was the only game. I mean, with Texas on the, like Texas A&M, they play all sorts of teams, but Colorado versus Nebraska was the big one. And this year, it is the very first home game for the Colorado Buffs. It is Prime's first home game. The average ticket price at the Colorado and Nebraska game is north of $400.
This is the average price.
I think it's the lowest too. Well, maybe it was the lowest we found. I think it was $400, either the lowest or the average. And we looked it up and compared it to some of these other games. That's actually going to get you into a Kansas City Chiefs game easier than it is to get into that game. That's the cheapest ticket.
Well, I did find $398 on SeatGeek. So.
Okay.
Oh. Plus all their fees.
Yeah.
$600 ticket right there.
We've done this too many times, right? So $400 is the cheapest ticket at a not very good venue with two teams that are not very good with two brand new coaches. What on earth is going on? Now, save your pennies, because if you're a Utah versus Florida, if you're a Utah fan, you want to get to that game versus Florida, the cheapest ticket in that building is $150.
Yep.
But boy, that sounds like a steal compared to that. And by the way,
a good ticket is over $400.
Well, a good ticket's going to run you, $850.
Yeah.
That's not even getting into the loge. I love the word loge. Where are you sitting, darling? Buffy. Bobby, which loge are we in? Is it the Scott Mitchell loge? Is it the Alex Smith loge? You didn't get us loge seats. It says it's $1,000. It's 50th row on the east side, E34 row 50. What? That's where you're going now. By the way, I was telling you about this program that already sold 70,000 season tickets for next year.
I want to hear.
Tennessee Volunteers.
70,000 season tickets.
70,700 is where they cap it. This is a 95,000-seat stadium, Neyland Stadium, which I've been to when they were in their dark times. When they lost to Georgia Southern and BYU in back-to-back weeks. At the hands of a prayer of Lisa Smith or Lisa Wilson.
Yeah.
Lisa Smith Wilson. That stadium is still rocking, obviously, but this is only, I mean, Tennessee, if you were to guess how many times they've sold out their season ticket allotment, this is only the second time in 30 years they've done it.
In 30 years?
In 30 years is the second time they've sold their season ticket allotment.
They're pretty hyped, though, about Heupel.
Oh, hey.
Hey.
Right, hey. Jeremy, can we get a trademark on that T-shirt? Yeah. We're going to start printing them. We're going to send
hyped
them.
Hyped about Heupel.
One of the shirts I would buy. Come on.
Actually, let's do a hyped on Heupel.
Yeah.
Hyped on Heupel.
Can we get something that has to do with hyperspeed in Heupel? Maybe make him look like Darth Vader or a Jabba the Hutt situation?
Balls are hyped on Heupel.
The Vols, you said, right?
Vols.
Okay.
V-O-L-S.
Careful there.
What did I say?
I don't know.
What did it sound like?
I got confused there for a minute. I was thinking you were talking about... No, I think, yeah, I think you're... No, I thought you were talking about... I thought you were talking about the rodent, the vole.
Well, I'm not inhaling a joint.
But this is all...
It might have been yesterday.
This flame... Without knowing it. Sometimes you walk around these hallways, man. IT walks by and you go, there aren't mandatory drug tests, but can we get one for you? Come on, man.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
So here's what we got here. The feds are trying to establish a regulatory committee. This is a federal regulatory committee that could dictate how NIL is going to work, right? And if you're going to do that, if the feds get involved in a regulatory committee, because this is a subcommittee in Congress is trying to figure this out right now. So there are two issues that are at play here. Making rules, which they have none, right? NIL has rules, wink, right? And then they also have no way to enforce any discipline. So let's say somebody does break rules, And let's say that the rules that are set up by this regulatory committee, and it's regulated by some sort of a federal committee. How on earth are we really going to enforce discipline on this? Because right now, there's no way to enforce anything. The NCAA has been toothless for nigh on two decades. Now, it was funny because they'll wear out of control, right, for a while. They'll go, yeah, I'm vacating your wins. You're getting some wins vacated. I'm going to suspend you, Yoli Childs. And then everybody else, you're good. Like, no rhyme or reason.
Except for you, Reggie Bush. I'm taking your high school.
Yeah. Where they dip in is really funny. The NCAA, when it comes to regulating this stuff, well, one, they don't know what to do because they don't want to limit anything. Limiting anything is going to get you busted. Because if you limit these guys' ability to make money, you're getting involved in something that's a real bad deal. But if you also let it go out of control, you mentioned Florida. Nobody even knows what happened in Florida. But if there were rules in place that actually made sense, that wouldn't have happened. The amount of money going to this quarterback who's never played a down in college football and he was promised $9 million or $13 million. I mean, we don't even know what happened there. Can we have some sort of transparency? And I'm not saying tell us exactly how much this kid's making. What I'm saying is, what did the school promise?
I don't think what was signed?
You don't think anything existed?
I don't think there's any way you can regulate this.
Even after they put rules in place.
Here's why I don't think so. Because a person can go out and engage with a business. Like, the schools aren't behind NIL. It's local businesses or a national business or any business for that matter who says, I want to engage with a player to utilize their name, image, and likeness on my business to help me promote my business. So where does the school get involved in this?
So
it's always been my question.
That's a great question. One of the things they're trying to figure out
is... I don't think they can do it.
One of the things they're trying to figure out is, how do we define a booster? What is a booster? And because,
right.
Because a kid who signs up for the Cougar Club and gives his $10 from his piggy bank. He's a booster. He's a donor.
I would define a booster. I think I could define that.
Anyone
who's given money to the university in exchange for something, for a ticket to be in some booster club, a donation to the university for whatever, capital improvements, you know, what any kind of gift, anything, and doesn't have to be a former student or alumni, just someone who's donated, I would say that person's a booster.
Should it be like with campaign funds, right? Where it's like, if it hits a certain amount, we're printing everything. We're going to put out all the money that's been given by anybody over this certain amount. And corporations, you're limited, right? Because you can. I mean, you could just start funneling money into these programs. And the thing is the guys who have tons of money have done it for decades. But the question is where does it go? Does it go directly into an individual's pocket? Because now, that was the thing that we tried to stay away from completely. And we used to just say, funnel it into the athletic program, right? And now...
Are you talking about NIL money?
I'm saying now, well, no, the way it used to be. They funneled money into the athletic program.
Oh.
Right?
Yeah.
And sometimes under the table stuff that, you know, offsite where guys would get paid, right? Bagman. But now the worry is that a guy will funnel money just straight to this kid.
Yeah.
Or straight to this gal who are athletes who are popular on social media, or that we got that five-star kid because this dude showed up and said, you will really like your experience here at the University of Georgia. Get my drift? And it's like, I mean, there's a bag of money waiting at the end of that rainbow. Absolutely.
So apparently there's a way for the university to approve an NIL deal, right? You have to run it through the university.
Sure.
I guess, right?
It's supposed to be the way it is.
Yeah,
they have to kind of look over some of these contracts and make sure that they're not in violation of NCAA stuff.
So why not employ at these universities someone who has an independent relationship? So they're not biased. And so they have to everything has to be run through them. They monitor, they watch, they make sure that everything's above board. Why not do that?
They usually have NIL people. Like the guy who's the regulatory,
yeah,
I gotta
to make sure they're doing
things
correctly. Right. Yeah, but not every university is doing that because guess what? How do people know? How do you know if it's not done right?
What are they showing in the reports? Who's seeing the money coming in versus the money going out? At what point can you introduce to an athlete that there are NIL possibilities after they sign with you, right?
They need to look at these professional sports leagues, and there needs to be some, you know, there's a competition committee, there's a rules committee,
there's a players group that's represented.
There's a labor agreement,
unionize the college players?
Well, but there has to be some kind of like relationship between the players and the universities, and there needs to be they all really should come together and figure this out. And hope
there's your regulatory committee then?
Federal regulatory committee? Well, yeah.
To get all that group together?
Yeah, but here's when it happens.
A czar. Yeah, well, we're good at making czars, right?
I'll tell you when this thing gets done. It's when an Alabama gets hosed in NIL. It's when Georgia gets hosed.
When the big dogs get their cage rattled.
They're all of a sudden going to go, you know what, we need to sit down. We need to talk about this.
You know, I'm having our state senator from the state of Georgia take a look at this. That's when those guys are going to get crazy. I love it. Okay. We got to take a break. We'll come back. We have our NFL roundup around the corner. Do you want an Anthony Richardson update? Well, you're going to get one. The unsolicited Anthony Richardson update on where he is in the NFL. Write it down, everybody. Apparently he's first or second team All-Pro. I don't know which one I want to put money down on. The way that we talk about guys in OTAs, my heavens.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope in Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.